Hear now these words from the first letter to Timothy, beginning in the first chapter with the 12th verse. We have these words that Paul writes to Timothy. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who have come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory now and forever. Amen. May God's blessings rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words from the Apostle Paul. We pray that we might glean the words for us this day. We pray now that your presence will rest upon us, to give us a sense of peace and calmness and rest from the activities of daily life and living. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Here are some of the most asked questions when we meet someone new. To a child, we probably say, "So what do you want to be when you grow up?" When meeting an adult, "So what do you do for work?" And at a party, "What is your dream job?" Work, jobs, careers, occupations, professions. Love it or hate it, most people spend at least a third of their waking hours working for someone else. This is called a job. Unless you are a trust fund child, have an oil well or two in your backyard, or your last name is Kardashian, you will spend a lot of your time working. How do you find the best job? How do you capture that dream job? That would be the problem. Nice work if you can get it, we hear sometimes. So what'd you do all summer? Oh, I was the chaplain aboard a cruise ship. Now that sounds interesting. Or a European riverboat guide. One online source lists a few of the best jobs ever, if you can get them. How about a Paradise Island caretaker? How about a luxury bed tester? Candy taster. I had 3 Snickers bars on the pulpit this morning. I didn't even ask for them, and I talk about chocolate a little bit. How about a wine taster? None of us would ever be involved in that, I'm certain. How about a resort water slide tester? Well, I'd want to know how high that first drop-off is. I don't know. I think I'd enjoy proofreading M&Ms and get to eat all the W's. Little loaf. Or taste-testing Snickers. How do you get one of those jobs? What are your qualifications? What does one put on their resume in order to catch somebody's attention? I bring this up because of a few words in this morning's passage of Scripture. Verse 12, Paul, towards the end of that verse, says that appointed me to his service. God appointed Paul to God's service. Sounds to me like the Apostle Paul just got a job. The job allows Paul to write letters and to travel. To travel by boat and a donkey and in an ox cart or on foot to places all over the known world, including major cities, the seat of the Roman Empire. He gets to speak to thousands of people, and as a spokesperson, he's sharing the good news of this new movement called Christianity. He's able to establish believers wherever he goes, speaking to the poor and speaking to the rich, speaking to the humble as well as the proud, speaking to the servants and speaking to kings. He visits homes and synagogues, palaces. And he even gets to spend some time in jail, sometimes more than once. And through it all, Paul says that he is judged to be faithful as he tells everyone about some good news. Verse 15, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Yet it wasn't always that way. Did Paul get this job because he was always so faithful and devout and Christian? Oh, heavens no. Before his conversion, in Paul's earlier life, well, there was a change of the sources that were used, but he also went by the name Saul. He was no candidate for Christian Employee of the Year. He openly says, I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, a man of violence. The guy was a man of violence. Who in their right mind would hire him? Past Wednesday, we didn't celebrate, it was the anniversary of 9/11. And I know I'm going to use some strong words, but think about it. Because sometimes when we read the scriptures, we forget that Paul, before he was an apostle, Paul was a terrorist. By his own admission, and with the approval of the religious and political authorities of his day, Paul actively and systematically worked to kill and to destroy a new faith other than his own. This state-sponsored terrorism led him to organize and to oversee murder, to destroy places of worship, to hunt down and imprison men and women, and to force renunciations of Christ. Today's Christians, we call it religious persecution. But when Saul was riding that horse or donkey along the Damascus Road, and he had that experience with Jesus Christ, when God finally grabbed a hold of his life, changes began to unfold. And Paul went on to become the most successful evangelist in the history of the world, and his drive and his power as an ambassador of Jesus Christ came from his spirit of obedient patience. Paul knew he was forgiven, but he never forgot the terrorist that he was, the worst of all sinners, before his transforming encounter with Jesus Christ. And so here he is, preaching the gospel, and somehow judged faithful and appointed to the service of Jesus Christ. God saw more in Paul than simply his past. God did not define Paul by his resume, and he did not pass over him because he was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. God did not allow Paul's past to become his future. God, who can make all things new, opened up new doors and a new life before Paul and invited Paul to enter and to walk through it. So, my friends, what's our excuse? If God can transform Paul, if God can anoint to God's service a mean-spirited, blaspheming man of violence like Paul, then what in the world are we waiting for? Why do we think that God probably has not appointed us to serve as well? You see, Paul freely says that he is a follower of Jesus Christ not because of his upstanding behavior in the past, but simply because of God's mercy and God's grace. Our past does not need to dictate our future either. Because of God's mercy, because of God's grace, we are not victims of our resumes and our past accomplishments and failures either. We, like Paul, I am certain, have a lot of stuff in our past that is totally contrary to what God would have us do each and every day. But God reminds us that our past does not have to be the final word because of God's grace and God's forgiveness. You see, God desires to give us the best job ever, a dream job. Not the bed tester, not the candy taster, not the island caretaker, but God can create something new within the hearts and minds and spirits of each and every one of us. And there's even some better news. Chances are we're not going to be asked to travel by boat, donkey, or on foot all over the world. We won't be invited to stay inside of a prison, probably, because Paul's already done that. But God will ask us to blossom and bloom wherever it is that we are planted. We will be appointed to serve right where we are. And it's our job then to discover just what is the nature of that service within God's kingdom. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, oh, how grateful we are to you that you don't hold on to our resumes. That amazingly, you offer grace and forgiveness to each and every one of us to set us free, to release us from those chains and bonds that hold us from becoming that child that you have created us to be. Oh God, offer to us grace and forgiveness that we indeed might be set free to become that child of yours that you've created, that you seek to empower us to be. For it's in the name of Christ our Lord that we ask and pray. Amen.